Blog Talk Radio. Goddesses in the house are going to be drumming together. So let me pray, welcome everybody, and let me introduce you to our Female Solution. We are live in the Female Solution Blog Talk Studio. So we want to greet our global family to let them know how much we love them. Yes, we do. So here we go.
Blog Talk Radio. Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing. Share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances. But most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directed to your email and your smartphone. Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Aspen Wasafen. In Ghana, Akwaba. In Nigeria, Peneo. In South Africa, Saobona. In Senegal, Nangade. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, Palestine, and Saudi Arabia. Assalamu alaikum. And may peace be upon you all. Join us live on the On Air Radio Network. Call 727-731-5192. We want to talk to you.
Yes, we do. And my guest and I want you to talk to us because this is a very important conversation we want to have tonight. Eve is back with us. She was here last week with her amazing testimony, story, and journey. And she's coming back today to take us to the next level. And we're going to talk about shamanism tonight, because even though we all might not be there yet, nah, we're close. I got a really interesting audio to play for you. Six questions, or brings out 6 points that show that maybe you are on the path to shamanism and you just don't know it. So I see that Eve is in the green room. So let me open my mic for Eve. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Great.
Hello.
Good evening. Grand evening. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm a little sick, but that's okay.
Okay, well, we're going to drum that sickness right out of you. I wanted to see if Mahana, I sent her the link. So I think she got the link. She just texted me if she was to use the link to join. So I was thinking maybe I'll text her the another link again. But I'm going to start the music. We can start drumming. And even if the music ends, we can continue to drum. However we feel, let's just be really intuitive about it. And we can drum with the music. And then if it ends, if we want to keep going, we'll just keep doing that. And if Mahana comes in, we'll just ask her to join us. How's that?
Okay. Only one thing is we just moved, so I don't know where my drums are, but I have my rattle.
Hey, the rattle. I think the rattle will work perfectly. So let's do it. Becca Shea is going to drum us in. This is Heartbeat. So let's do it. Let's pick your rattle.
And hey, let us rent some people for old guys. From every tribe and language, people, every nation. Where warriors are falling, there's a resurrection coming.
Raise your glass to rise and shine.
Oh, wake up, you sleeping giant.
The wounds of injustice are being healed by the peace.
Hey.
You have reached the On Air Radio Network. Please state your name and you will be entered into our studio. Please keep your phone on mute until you are ready to speak.
Please announce yourself.
Hi. How's that feel? You feeling better? I hope that your move hasn't been too stressful. Eve tells me she moved. You moved to a new place?
Yeah. Well, there's been just a whole bunch of things that I've been balancing. And so it's just kind of, I got tired and my body got stressed and it said, you need to rest. And so it made me rest.
All right. Well, we have joining us Mohana Bay. Welcome, Mohana.
Hi, sorry, guys. That 1 hour is so liberal of time. Really? Sorry.
I know. Don't you love it? Every year we have to wake up and say, oh, my goodness, the clock changed. And the hours, it was so dark this morning, and yet the birds were singing. I'm like, what's going on? So, yeah. We're all adjusting. So welcome, Mohana. How are you this evening?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Good. We're good. You missed our drumming. Did you bring your drum?
Is that my drum? I missed the drum. I love that part.
Well, we can always drum out at the end because we don't want to leave you out. Well, we want to start this evening. I have this audio that I want to play. I want you ladies to listen to it because he talks about six signs that you may be a shaman. So I want us to listen to it together and kind of discern and decide how many of these signs are with us because I think for you, you might say you're all six signs, but for me, I only had two out of six. I still got a ways to go. But I was excited that, oh, wow, I got two out of six, so that's not bad. So I was excited about that. So I want to play this brother. It's a man, and then the good thing about it is it's a man, but we'll get the man's opinion. And then we will come in and give the female perspective. How about that?
Beautiful.
Okay, so here we go.
Good day. How are you doing? This is your man of business, Doc, signing in. Just wanting to have a conversation today with you about being a shaman. How do you know if you're a shaman? Well, if you stay tuned, I'll give you 6 points that will let you know that you may be a shaman. So until we come back, this is Doc saying, stand up, stand up. Hello, welcome back. How do you know that you may be a shaman? The first point is, you must understand the nature of what shamans are, who they are, what they represent. Shamans are individuals who are in tune with nature. So if you feel a strong connection with nature, this is the first point. You may be an individual with that shamanic calling on your life. The next thing is, do you find it difficult to fit in? Do you find it hard to fit in with others? Do you enjoy solitude? Well, this may be an indicator that you may have the shamanic calling on your life. Here it is, even in the midst of giving you these points, I may add that these are not the all, end all, the all definitive factors. These are just some of the initial indicators. I wish to stress that enough. The third point that you may have a shamanic calling on your life may be the fact that you've had a near-death experience or a mystical experience, that you've had difficulties getting your brain around and it doesn't fit your traditional orthodox belief system. In terms of what transpires during these near-death or mystical experiences, the soul is introduced to another way of perception. The soul is introduced to another frequency of reality. So this is a factor that may be the binding force that actually opens up that spiritual eye, that opens up that internal spiritual self to the spiritual world that exists. The next point that would indicate that you may have a shamanic calling on your life would be your ability to read others. Read others. And when I say read others, this covers a wide repertoire of things. For instance, you can hear the thoughts of others. For instance, you can get clear glimpses of the person's background, their home life, their orientation, and things of that nature. The ability to basically read auras and the ability to basically cover the gambit of the clair gifts. And when I say the clair gifts, these cover everything from clairaudience, clairvoyancy, and so on and so forth. The fifth point that may be a strong indicator that you may have the shamanic calling on your life, the fact that you have vivid prophetic dreams. And when I say vivid prophetic dreams, whatever you dream comes to pass, whether it comes to pass the very next day, comes to pass the next week, next month. But the bottom line is your dreams tend to be very strong indicators of what the future is going to bring. This is one of the giftings that those with the shamanic callings on their life tend to have. The sixth point is you feel a calling to help, heal, or ease the suffering of others. And I'll say it again, to help, to heal, and to ease the suffering of others. You have that natural inner thing that is driving, that is pushing you towards that. The shamanic life, the shamanic way of living is a very interesting way. It is one of the primal belief systems that came into existence with the dawning of man. Those within the shamanic system would find that they would have to interact with other spiritual beings, other beings from the fourth and the fifth and higher dimensions. Those in the shamanic calling would find themselves having to do things like soul retrieval and things of that nature from the lower dimensions. Shamanic healings and things of that nature, these would require the aid of spiritual assistance outside. In terms of you, the individual, you, the soul, only you would know if this is your calling. Only you would know the true answer to this. So this is my 5 cents. This is my 6 points on the shamanic calling.
All right, ladies, goddesses, what do you think? Eve, since we don't know a lot about Mohana, you mind if she goes first and tells us a little bit about herself? He says, okay, Mohana. Okay, we want to know all a little bit about you, and I want to know if you were listening to his six signs, how do you feel about those six signs?
All right. Well, I go by Mohana Bay. I've actually been in tune with spirit guides since I was really little, so I can communicate with higher realms of thoughts. I say I'm basically getting boxed in thoughts, and then I can translate it. But I was doing it since I was a little girl. My mom used to call my imaginary friends because she would see. I would get the box. They would talk to me like telecommunication, and I would respond out loud. So I'm sitting in my room like, yes, I'm talking. My mom like, oh, this girl, she's imaginary friends. And then when I turned 5, I actually heard the spirit say that my grandfather was going to die. And so I out loud was like, oh, my grandfather's going to die. And like a day or two later, my dad called and told us that my grandfather on his side of the family, my great-grandfather on his side of the family had passed. And my mother didn't pick up on it at that point, 8 years old. And I was cooking eggs at the stove, and I looked at my brother, and again, the spirit gave me, like, Mamu gonna die, which was his godmother. And so I just turned to him, just not even realizing what I'm actually saying. I'm just like, Mamu's gonna die. And then once I realized what I said, he was so sad. I was like, I'm sorry. No, she's not. She's not gonna die. I'm sorry. But the next week, we get a phone call that Mamu passed away. And my mother said, how do you know that? And I said, they tell me. She said, who tell you? I said, the imaginary friends. And so she was like, no, Mahana, you're communicating with the spirit. And I was like, oh, I thought that was just like a normal thing. And then I turned about 13 and I got that voice again telling me that his godfather was going to pass. And I just took off running down the street like, no, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. And they said, what if you don't tell him and he don't get a chance to say bye? And I was so sad. It took me 2 days to deliver that message to my brother, but I did, and he actually went to visit him, and then like a week later he passed away. And so I knew that spirit gave me the gift to be able to communicate that to people so they could get their last words in. And that happened again too when I was 25. My mother was making a card for her best friend that was in the hospital for cancer. And she was like, I'm going to give her this card on Friday. And then the spirit was like, no, she's not going to make it till Friday. And I felt so bad again. Like, I don't want to say this, but I was like, you know what? I was like, mother, she's not going to make it till Friday. And my mother, knowing my history of being able to see these things before they happen, she went to the hospital. And then her best friend passed in her arms that day, that night, when she went to the hospital and looked at her card. So it's just been like this wild journey of me taking that gift and like literally putting it in a closet, because I was hospitalized at 25 because telling my OBG something about the spirit guide, and then she got some counselor to come, and then they were watching this do the crazy house. And then at that point I was like, I don't want to talk to y'all. I don't have nothing to do with it until I met a hypnosis, which I was going through for something totally. I wasn't even thinking about this, but he posed a couple of questions. And then at the end, where I'm thinking I'm about to, get what I thought I was going to get out of hypnosis, but I didn't think I'd say all that money, but it was the most best thing that I could have did, because he asked me a question, because he said, you are the real thing. You really, truly do talk to the spirit. But what would you feel if, you know, you got your daughter a gift and she play with it every day? I'm like, I'll be excited. He's like, what did you do if you got your daughter a gift and she just set it up on the shelf and like, oh, don't touch it? I was like, I'm like, girl, I want you to always place to play with it. He's like, okay, so what did you do? If your daughter just put it in the closet? And he got quiet for at least 5 minutes on the phone. I remember saying, hello? And he was like, exactly. She just put it in the closet and she never heard from it. I'm like, dang, I feel like I gave her the worst doll ever. And he was like, what do you think your father God feel about the gift he gave you? And then our time was up and he hung up, and I was flooded with tears and I was crying. I was like, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. And my basement filled with all these spirit guys and things. There was teeny little lights and it was just kissing. I just fell asleep, just like, okay. I know I'm supposed to listen. I know I'm supposed to tell people whatever. And so I got into that type of work.
So, Mahana, let me ask you, are you the 6 out of 6 that we just heard?
5? I don't know, because my dreams, it's not like I go to sleep and dreaming dreams, but I have visions. Like, I can see stuff, and then I'll tell my family about it or things like that. But my dreams don't come in my sleep. They usually awoke. So if that's the same thing, then I would say 6 out of 6.
Wow. So did you journal all this, or is this just coming from memory?
No, this is my experience, but I just know because I lived it. So.
Okay, so you're writing a book, right, soon?
I was working on that book for a while, but now that you got AI, I can tell them this man make it all fancy.
Yeah, right. Okay, what's your birth date? I'm wondering.
August 15th, 1976. From the year of the dragon, you guys. It's the year of the dragon.
Oh, well, you're a day before my mom's birthday. Oh, my goodness. I think she was August 16th. Yeah, 76. So you're a Virgo?
Leo.
Leo? Oh, okay. Maybe she must be the 20. I think she might be the 24th. Yeah. Do you have siblings?
It's the 24th. Yeah, I have three sisters and two brothers.
Okay. What was it like growing up with? No, you didn't mention. Did you have a father in the household?
Until I was about five.
And how did that? What happened with dad?
So that's probably where I did my work. That I got through with myself, going through the different tools. At five, I was such a daddy's girl. And at five, my mother and father got it. And he was into music and a musician, so he just took himself to New York to pursue a dream. But to me, you know, we didn't have FaceTime. We definitely wasn't doing long-distance phone calls to daddy to New York. So for 2 or 3 years, I seen my dad, and not at all. And I was just like,
abandonment. So you had abandonment issues.
Oh, and it grew. It was so crazy how fast it grew, because then my parents were, like, really mean to me because I was the same size as their dad that they despised to be our grandmother. And then I looked so much like my mother, who they despised, because she had a different father, and so she was raised by our great-grandmother, and she was treated so, and dressed like a doll, and she even admitted that she was more like, so they despised her, and they just it out of me, and I would just be sad, and I would try to tell my mother, like, stay being mean, and she's like, oh, you're a liar, and she would be so I would have these charges that I knew once I understood the way the mind worked, that, oh, my God, I have to figure out how to get those programs out, because I deserve to be happy, like.
So, okay, wow, and are you married?
I'm in a nice little relationship right now, but I'm not married. I just keep that narcissist.
Hey, everybody needs to have a narcissist that they have escaped from, because they're great.
But that brought me to the mirror of the abandonment issue, because I've worked through unworthiness, not worthy of a man's love, all this stuff, and then I never worked on abandonment, and it was me taking all that stuff from him and realized I didn't want to project that on our five-year-old daughter. Well, she ended up being like five now, but she was three, and I was just thinking like, going to be sad, and she's going to, and then he had hit me one time, and I was still staying, and I started crying. I'm like, why am I here? Why am I still with him? And then I see myself as that little girl, seeing daddy gone, and I was projecting it on her. We got FaceTime, and this little baby started telling me that he don't love me, and I need to be away. So I'm like, it's abandonment. I need to work on abandonment. So I started chopping away at that, and now it's out of my life.
Oh, girl, you go, girl, you go, girl. But I'm serious. My daughter-in-law, I discovered, was narcissistic after she put me in tears one time. I'm like, the way she treated me. And then I was like, what is this? What is it about her? And then I started studying. I learned everything. I even taught a workshop on narcissism. So everybody needs one once in their life, and they learn from them. And then you go, woo-hoo, yeah, I got out of that one. So,
you come and be like, you've got narcissistic tendencies. That you really do think you're crazy. I stayed in that for 6 years. I literally thought I was losing my mind. So when a friend said, like, he's a narcissist, so I was thinking that's a savvy way of saying an a-hole. So I'm like, my older sister was like, oh, he's a narcissist. This is when I finally broke my silence and started talking about what I was going through. And I was like, what the heck is that? And she sent me some YouTube videos, and I was up all night looking at endless videos, because I'm like, oh, my God, this is that guy.
And it's all the psychiatrists. Yeah, all the experts on narcissists say, stay away, just get away, save yourself, stay away. So that's what we do. Yeah, go ahead. So Eve, tell me how you met this amazing young lady.
Well, we have some mutual contacts, and our mutual friend, he was like, you guys have to meet, you guys are the same, like, you guys have so much in common, you guys talk the same, you do the same, everything. So he kept pushing for us to meet, and then we finally met, but it wasn't until both of us got away from our narcissist that we were actually able to connect.
Wow.
And be able to have these conversations and unite with each other.
Wow, that is so cool. We get away from our narcissists and, wow, we meet these amazing people who are not narcissists. We celebrate.
Yeah.
So, Eve, last week, we were so blessed to have you share all your story, your traumas, your life. And then I was surprised to learn you have 5 children. So I want you to pick up where you left off last week and share with our audience what it's been like to have to grow a family of 5 children and even grandchildren after the loss of your 2 children. What's that been like for you?
Well, I think that it was my children that saved me, because I had to keep on going. I had to keep on going for them and taking care of them. And so they really saved my life. So, and it wasn't always easy, but I just kept on looking. I just kept on looking for that support. I kept on looking for, in that moment, I decided that I needed to look and see inside of me, what is it inside of me that I keep looking for these people in my life, narcissists, or I keep going after these different dynamics. And so I set out to journey. I set out on the journey to know myself. And just like Mohana was saying, like, oh, I have this abandonment, or I have this codependency, or I have these different things. And so I just became honest with myself about everything. And just kept on, because I knew my children needed it, and I knew that I needed to live this life. I needed to live a better life, and that I deserved it, and my children deserved it too.
So, do you have your their father's support? No. Okay. So how are you dealing with that? What do you have a village? Because that's the thing. I realize having 2 grandchildren and they're in divorce. They've experienced divorce when they were like 2 and 4 years old. So I observe how they need a village now, because the separation that they experienced was traumatic for them at that age, I realized. And they were displaying behavior that demonstrated that was pretty stressful for them at that age to say, oh, now they're going to be apart. I could just see. But the village is what is helping them have healthy emotions and grow up and not be so feeling that trauma of divorce, because that's one of the adverse childhood experiences that is rated as something that could cause disease, is a divorce of parents. So it's important that the village, how is your village with your to you and your children?
So that's something that I know is one of the number one components that we need as humans to be healthy, is to have a community, to have that village. And so everywhere I go, I look for people to be there to. So when I moved to Arizona, when I first left, I went to Arizona, and when I went there, I just went looking around, and I found the Youth Coalition. I met all these different people, and I exposed my children to really nice people. And right now, I just moved to Denver in September, so I'm still building a community here, and I've found people who dance, and I've found people who do ceremony, and different components that are necessary for the health and well-being. So I'm still growing. We were just, when we first got here, we were staying in a hotel. And then I reached out to one of the school counselors for my son at his high school, and she really helped me. She helped us get some services that we need, and we started this program. and we ended up in a homeless shelter, and so they just helped us get into this apartment about 4 weeks ago.
So why Denver?
So we're just why Denver? Building it.
Yeah, why Denver?
My daughter's here. She has a son who's 3 years old, and he has autism, and she has two jobs, and she's studying to be a traveling nurse.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. That's awesome. So out of the six signs that you might be a shaman, what do you rate yourself?
All six.
Wow. See there? You said to me when I mentioned that the topic, you said, well, I don't know if I'm a shaman. I wouldn't call myself a shaman. Kim, we are proving that you are. Okay, we now know now. So, okay, I think both of you probably could be labeled as shaman. What do you think?
I think I considered it, but hearing the way he expressed it, I'm like, wow, that's just like me. So. It's me from, like, birth. Like, I just remember being this way all my life. Like, always wanting to help people. Always wanting. Like, I do some amazing healing modalities because I really felt like I could heal. At first grade, I wanted to be a pediatrician. I wanted to heal little babies. I had a vision of having a shelter, a homeless place for homeless people to come and then learn about the Lord and then help them find a place to live. Like, I've always
in, like, this person. Okay, so I feel like shamanism is a goal from religion. What was your religion? Did you have a very religious background, Mahanas? Because I feel like I have so grown out of religion, and I'm more into being.
I've been to the church, like, after, okay, we was in Islam, but not Islam is a tradition where there is the Elijah Muhammad. It was Islam under Prophet Noor Ali, which taught us the science. It was teaching us astrology, things like that. And then my mother got converted to go into Christianity when she married my stepdad. But at that time, it did not resonate with me and my brother because in Islam, you just taught Islam acronym for I, Self, Law, and Master. You learn to master yourself, and you learn to worship under your own divine fig tree, and you worship Allah, you know, the Holy One, hand in hand, and you didn't need a middleman. So we was confused with that, and it was being pushed. We took a look at some stuff, but we always came back to, like, we have our own spiritual little group. You get on Zoom, we do that because something outside of me to tell me how to be just don't make sense because we are our own gods. We can connect with the Creator, our own self, and the Creator isn't just the Father God, it's the Mother, which is how that's love. Like, there's a triune, so there was a lot of brokenness in these ideologies that I can never accept. So I'm like, that, you know, it's peace here and there. You can feel and resonate with people, desire to know or love God, but at the end of the day, it's all love.
Well, these are, your words are so profound in many ways because this path that we are on, and I don't know how many people are, and I'm going to read some of the comments, and maybe they'll express what path, if they're on the same path, but this path that we're on, you're confused for a while, because especially if you grow up in a very religious family home, like I did, sort of, Methodist church, Baptist church, no Catholic, but went through most of the denominations, Hebrew, Israelite, and then you realize, I love nature. I don't want to be sitting in a church for 5 hours listening to somebody teaching me on the pulpit. I'd rather be out there watching the birds and the bees and talking to them. And so you're confused, and especially the part about you feel alone. You feel it's difficult to fit in because everybody ain't thinking that way. And you're like, oh, wow. So you just expressed it beautifully how when your parents are into something like with Islam, and that's, I've never heard that type of Islam before. So I guess if, even in Islam, there's different sects, different descriptions. But let me read some of the comments here, and maybe you ladies want to, I don't know who Neil Mio is, awaiting. Do anybody know who that is?
Yeah, he's a dear friend of mine.
Okay, so he's here in the studio, in the Empress Regina. We bow to Empress Regina. She's always here bringing her love. Great being here with all her energy is amazing. Neil May says, music loud enough and the vocals inside the music was in the sync. Well, thank you, Neil, that you were listening to the music. and then, Empress Regina. And let's see, Empress Regina again. Greetings, Eve. Behold to behold. Behold to behold. Okay, I like that. And then John Harris is here. Sounds good. Great, thank you. And Neil May says, yes, that time sounded great. I'm so glad people are listening and pointing things out. Olivia, hi, Olivia. I haven't seen you in a while. Greetings, family. Empress Regina says, one more. Oh, she's counting. So you're 5 out of 6. Wow, you're there. You're almost there. You are there, really, when you think about it. You probably just don't realize that you, the one that you're missing is probably you. John Harris says, that's a deep story. Zelda, our Monday morning host, says, good evening, oh wise ones. Love hearing your truth about visions. Please don't let anyone or anything like AI write your book. Your intellectual property will no longer belong to you. All right, listen up, Mahana. Take some advice. And then Naima Latif is our executive producer of The Female Solution. She says, greeting, powerful women. It's so inspiring to hear us sharing the challenging relationships that taught us valuable life lessons. We should all write a book on how we got over narcissists. That's the next book. By Rachel Hinkle Gray, beautiful testimony, Cousin Mahana. Thank you. Family is in the house all right now, cousin. John Harris, much love, Eve. And Neo is lifetime of experiences with me, too. And then finally, Olivia Mazion says, I say, that's beautiful to hear. I started from Pentecostal, Hebrew, to spiritual being of light. Woo, that's a lot of energy there of confirmation. So we are really in good company tonight, and the village is here. And on this path, we want to explore some of the traumas that you have struggled with and how we can help others overcome those traumas. So, Mahana, I don't know if you want to go into a little more detail about how you have been overcoming these conflicts and confusion and traumas that you have had to go through.
Okay. The first thing I had to do was recognize that I had these such things going on. And I just began to ponder, and spirit has always opened up to me the direction and government. I always listen. So I've been guided down the path to sacred breathing to actually release the memories that associate with these traumas. Then I was led to a meridian tapping, which helps me release the emotional trauma and also rewire the neural pathways from the limiting beliefs that we end up taking on when we get these traumas. Then I went down the path studying under somebody who did peace process, and the whole concept of that was so simple that I could use it at any time, and I could give it to anybody to use it any time, which is to bring the peace into the body, because all the trauma, you can feel it in your body. So it's like identify that trauma, whether it's anger, fear, and then you tune into just the feeling, like you dial right into it and you just send it love. Just keep sending it love anyway. And I learned this other amazing healings like bioenergy healing or instant miracle. And I just put them all what I call a tube belt. I'm like, oh, this is a tube belt. So I like kind of compile them together. And whenever I work with clients, I like to take them through basically the whole journey meal, We'll take care of your thoughts. We'll take care of your emotions. We'll take care of that actual energy feeling. And then what I like to call the activation, we deactivate all of that, and then we activate through our third eye, tapping in the message of that opposite trauma. You know, I'm happy. I love myself. Really, the main need is to get people to really love themselves, because through the traumas, we learn to teach ourselves, like, oh, I'm not good enough, which that's still just a form of not loving ourselves.
That, and that's why. So you are you familiar with EFT? Is that what you were referring to? Okay.
EFT and EFT, both thought field therapy and emotional freedom technique. Yeah.
EFT, and what was the other one?
EFT is thought field therapy.
Okay.
And actually, Robin Callahan developed EFT after studying TFT through Gary Craig developed EFT after studying under Roger Callahan, who developed the TFT.
Right. And the thing, for those of you who don't know EFT, it always starts with, even though I have this condition, this challenge, but I deeply love myself. So you're right on point that the key to overcoming the traumas, the diseases, is to love yourself more. And, of course, on Friday morning when I do health and well-being, I call it the fly session, because it's first love yourself. And so we are so harmonized here tonight to know that it requires loving yourself. Now, I want to, you know, what I think about is when we're in the religious mind, many people are asking and begging for the Creator to heal them, to help them. But how do you translate, both of you, you're from the religious mind, the church, the Bible mind, all of that? I look at it as seeing help out there, seeing God or Creator out there. So what's the difference for you now? And did you see the Creator out there in the beginning of your journey? And then now are you translating that and transforming that in any, what way? Either one of you.
The Creator was always taught to me through Islam that He resides inside of our heart, like to listen to the still small voice that's in our heart. So I always tuned in and knew that the Creator was in me, so it was me that had to activate the healing. So I kind of knew, like, early on, that we had the power to heal ourselves through, you know, plants, through this and through that. I always believed in that and never took on a Western mindset or believe that, you know, I had to call on something outside of me to deliver. Even though I did believe in prayer, sacred prayer to the higher source, I still take full responsibility on if I heal or how I heal.
Okay, what about you, Eve? What was your early religious journey like compared to now?
I was actually very fortunate, because I was exposed to many different things. So I never actually latched on, because I saw such different contrast. And being that my grandfather was an elder in the Jehovah's Witness Church, I got to see so many different things. I got to meet what they call the... How do you call that? Sorry. I got to meet the anointed ones, and that's a whole nother level of spirituality. That's a whole nother level of connectedness. And I was 5 years old, and I was having these amazing conversations with the anointed ones, and I was right along with them. So it seemed like they already saw me at that age, and so they were trying to test me. So I always saw the connectedness of all things. I always saw God in all things. I could look up in the sky and just see there's this presence there in everything. And so I was really fortunate to have had these different experiences without having to be connected to an outside authority. So prayer, it was the way that they were showing the prayer, how to pray in these places. it didn't make sense to me. And I never, and then people say, oh, pray for me or this and that. And what I see is there's just a connectedness and there's not to ask, like, oh, can you do this for me? Can you do that for me? Can you do this or that? And so I like to just say thank you. I like to just, if anything, it's just my life, I'm in constant prayer. My life is constant ceremony. And everywhere I go, I make little altars. and I just connect with the space that I'm in. And I know that that's where God resides. God resides in everything, in everyone. And so I feel fortunate.
So prayer for, I think, all of us, I think we can say it's not about asking someone out there, but I feel like it's more meditative. It's more tuning into the creator inside, tuning into the organs inside. For instance, I went for a walk today, and just as I started walking, my left knee started hurting. I'm like, what? Doing? I started talking to my knee because I'm like, hey, we got a long walk. I was going to pick up trash because I pick up trash in my neighborhood. And that's how I know I'm a shaman. I got a strong connection to Mother Earth. I got to keep the trash away, and I do all everything. I'm looking for flowers to come up, and I have to move the trash. But I started talking. I just said to my knee, no, we're not. I love you. I love you. We are not going to be in pain, and the pain went away. I don't know what it was. I'm like, I don't think I stepped any particular way, but do you find yourself, when you have pain, dealing with it in a way that you connect to that pain and talk and give love? Are you at that place where you're giving love instead of stop, oh, help me, help me, help me, help me? You're stopping and going inside. How is that? Where you are, Mahana?
Yeah, it's funny because I was just talking to Eve about this because she, you know, have a little sniffles and she was like, oh, and I was like, oh my God. And what I used to do because I was in the gym a lot and my body was hurt and I'm like, and I was like, wait, stop. What are you doing? Because what I used to do, like, I would be going up the stairs. I'm like, oh, yes, that feels good. And within a day, all that pain would be gone because I choose to say, oh, this is feeling good, even though it was like an ache. And that's the same with just tuning in to where you're not feeling good and just sending love. Like, you know what? I'm going to love you anyway. I'm going to love you anyway. And it just solves itself.
Mm-hmm. So, Eve, what about you? What is your prayer now? For anything that's going on in your body?
Yeah, I know that all the atoms have consciousness and all the cells are made of atoms. So it's kind of like each one of us is a cell of the whole. So it's like talking. So it's kind of like that God figure talking. So the conscious here is talking to the body here. And just talking to it and connecting with it and loving it and understanding it. So that was part of my process, too, towards healing when my son passed away was I had to connect with the body. I had to connect with where does this emotion or where does this happening or where does this situation sit in my body? And that's how I was able to heal my back because I connected with that space. I connected with what was going on. I transmutated my thoughts about everything and the energy that I sent to it. And I just gave it love. I just gave it love. And that's where I was able to come to grace and true and unconditional love. And that's how I was able to heal many ailments in the body. They'll do that.
You know, my sister, when her only child died, she was playing this tape about, I've lost a child, I've lost a child. And because they were so close, she was a single mom, and they were really close. And when she left, it was like detaching a part a part of her was taken away, and the cells in her breast began to multiply. And so that's where I started learning about German New Medicine, how a trauma like that is a major active conflict, and it will take place in the body part that is most feeling that departure or that disconnect. So for her, it was nurture, nurture, nurture for 14 years, nurturing, nurturing, clothes, ballet lessons and swim lessons. My niece was a really good swimmer. She was going to be on the swim team and going to Olympic swim. She was so connected to that child that when she suddenly died, I mean, within a few hours, that child was gone out of her life. It registered in her left breast. And in two years, that the cells multiplied and ate right through the skin of her breast. It was just an amazing thing to watch and observe. And her message was, I've lost a child. And when I would say, can we just talk about Naya, that was her daughter, oh, you've never lost a child. She would get real dramatic. And then the cancer just ate right through, and then she eventually passed away from just the stress of the grief, the unforgiveness, and the guilt. So I think with any stress, whether it's the death of a child, in your case right now, you have been moving a lot. So are you feeling, I think maybe your body is feeling the stress of the move. Are you connecting with why you're showing symptoms of a cold, like, or even tired, fatigue? Yeah. What are you feeling right now after all this moving? It's like in your nasals or wherever.
Well, first I would like to address what you said about your sister, because I can relate to where she was, because that was something that I had to go in and look, because I was like, oh my gosh, I lost a child. My children were everything. My children have always been everything for me. And it was through this process that I needed to realize, you know what? My children, they're not mine. My children were just here to guide and steward and be there. And so when I was thinking that my children were mine, then I had this lack. But it was through losing him, and then my daughter, she went through a really hard time with his death, and she still kind of has these symptoms of it. But losing him has also made her driven. She's the one with the two jobs and studying to be a traveling nurse. And she has her son who has autism, and he has therapy and all these things. And she's killing herself trying to move forward, because she's like, my brother would not want to see me down. Mm-hmm. Because when he passed, she went from a straight-A student to getting to failing and missing school, skipping school and things like this. And so there was a lot of conflict, and she ended up running away 2 weeks before she turned 18. And she just couldn't take it. And where we were living in Portland, that became a place of a really hard time for her. So she couldn't be there anymore because of the memories. But it was in losing him, and losing her, and not really losing her, but just watching her process. Well, my children, they're not mine. And I'm just here to guide them. I'm just here to be there for them. I'm just here to you know, show a way. But then, you know what? They're also my teachers.
Yeah.
They teach me.
Yeah.
Because children are geniuses. Children are born geniuses, and it's the things that we do, that we say, that the schools, that the religions, that the politics and society, they put these conditionings. There's all of these constructs, and so they get pulled further and further from recognizing their genius. And so it's for us to be like, okay, I know that you're a genius. I know that you're amazing. I know that you're all of these things, and you're my teacher. You teach me just as much as I teach you. You probably teach me more than I teach you. And so it's just being there, learning from them, and guiding them in the way that we can according to what we know or what we've experienced, but remembering that our experience is not theirs, and their experience is not ours. They're just another human being just like we are, and it's honoring them, and it's respecting them. And so when I was able to get to that point, that was a huge breakthrough for me into releasing that, oh my gosh, I lost a child, oh my gosh.
And you know, seeing my sister suffer like that, I started looking at my own two sons differently. Like you just said, they're not mine. I have to detach, and I have this this sheet that I've used it with my clients. It's called a soul partnership with Gary, I forget his name, but he wrote a book, and you probably know it, Mahana, but when I find it, but Zukav, Gary Zukav, he wrote a book about the emotions, and then he has a spiritual partnership agreement for whether it's parents and children or husbands and wives. And so I started, because of my sister's teaching and her suffering, I started looking at my two grown sons as soul partners, not my sons. Because the attachment that she had brought so much grief because that child was taken away, or she left her. Mahana, I want to ask you about your relationship with your five-year-old. Are you at a place of seeing that child not as your child, but more like Eve was describing, you know, these are geniuses that we're learning from, even though she might be five, he or she is 5 years old, they actually are our teachers. And we are to be guiding them. That's what my sister taught me. I started really changing the relationship I have with my grown adult son.
So, I have a 25-year-old, I have a 21-year-old, and I have an 18-year-old, and then I started over because I'm crazy. But they all teach me. It is so crazy because I always tell my sons that they're my daddy. I'm like, oh, my gosh, y'all like my daddy. But I also tell my 21-year-old, and I always tell him, he's like, Mom, why are we going back and forth? I'm like, because I'm taking your brain because you're teaching me something. You're giving me something. So if I keep questioning you, I want you to make it clear to me because I know what I gave y'all as children, and I know what y'all didn't grow up with the traumas I did. So I'm listening to y'all, and I'm getting best here. So I just be like encouraging them, but they all have. At birth, I always give my children back to God because I say, emotionally and spiritually, I think they know that they belong to me. They came here on their own will to be here. I'm just here to guide them and to show them the path, but I always gave them the space to be the people who they came to be. I never tried to say, this is it. I just give them my perspective, and I've always respected their boundaries or what they assume. They were like, Mom, I'm like, stop that. We all our own personal being, and I didn't come here to make you be what I think you should be because you came here knowing what you're supposed to be, and I'm just here to help bring that out of you, and then you in turn beat me. And I know it's a five-year-old. It's like, that's probably my biggest teacher, and they always say I need to be a little bit more cracked down on that one because they like, you don't crack down like that. I'm like, she just turned five. I start cracking down on y'all when y'all turn five. So they just remember the crackdowns and like, we wouldn't be who we are. I'm like, listen, I'm cracking down.
Yeah. So listen, let me take a break. I haven't had a commercial break, and I can't believe we're already an hour into the show. So let's take a break. When we come back, I want to focus on a couple of things. Beyond your impossible, how did you come up with that idea? And we want to talk about the podcast you two are planning, as well as, one of the things I think we all have in common on the path to shamanism is our calling to heal help heal and ease suffering of others. I think we can all agree that's something that I definitely am on that and have been on that path. That's my intention, my goal. So let's talk about that a little more too, and how Beyond Your Impossible actually fits in with that, because some people are really struggling with the suffering. Most of it I see is anger. Oh my goodness, there's so much anger in young people. And so anyway, let's do, when we come back, that's what we're going to talk about. Okay, here we go.
Have you ever wondered why some of the healthiest people still get sick? Or why the occurrence of learning disabilities like ADHD have drastically increased over the last 50 years? How is it that the cancer rate has gone from 1 in 8,000 back in the 1910s to 1 in 2 today? Isn't it odd that even though we are more focused on health than ever before, that there's still been an increase in diseases, disorders, illnesses, and other conditions that destroy your quality of life? What if we told you that the very things you're using in your home to avoid these health concerns are actually what's causing them? If you're the decision maker in your home, you know how overwhelming it can be to keep your family safe. Today, we'd like to welcome you and simply provide you with some important information and shed some light on some health concerns you may not be aware of. Over the last 100 years, thousands of toxic chemicals have been introduced into society because of an excessive overstock of chemicals designed for warfare in the Second World War. Today, as the 2013 documentary, The Human Experiment, states, quote, 42 billion pounds of toxic chemicals enter into commerce every day. That amount would fill up 623,000 tanker trucks. And as we speak, there are over 80,000 such chemicals on the market in the U.S. Over the last half century, chemical usage has gone up by 2,000%. And it isn't until there are enough people hurt by these products that there are even questions raised. Does this sound familiar? On July 12, 2018, the well-known grocery store brand of talcum and baby powder company, Johnson & Johnson, was ordered to pay a $4.6 billion lawsuit. As it was said, they knowingly covered up asbestos in their product for over 40 years, and we have been trustingly using it on ourselves and our most precious of all things, our newborn baby. As parents, we work hard to keep our families safe and healthy. We diligently try to choose the best brands at the grocery store for our families. After all, keeping a clean home is an important part of good health. But
so that information is provided by Melaleuca.com. I partnered with this company to do exactly what I refer to help people heal from the suffering and ease their pain and struggle with the environment they're living in. I had a woman on my show a few weeks ago who lived in an apartment where the leaking from the roof was so bad that she developed pneumonia from breathing the mildew in this place. And so that was a major event, but people are subtly being poisoned by some of the toxins that the products they're using. So I invite everybody to go to Melaleuca.com and check out the products. And if you're interested, contact me if you want to join my buying club with Melaleuca, because this is a company that's very conscientious about providing products that are toxic-free. So that's my little commercial, and we're going to take another commercial in about half an hour. But, ladies, Beyond Your Impossible, where does that come from, and how do you see the need, that theme fitting in the society we live in, which is really messed up right now. There's a lot of anger. There's a lot of sickness. There's a lot of confusion. I mean, we're really living in some chaotic times, which is why I think we all need to be shamans and not pastors and not nurses and doctors, but we need to take on the label of shamanism, because we need to bring in nature and natural things and the ability to see spiritual energies and read things other than a prescription and a Bible, in fact, because we don't need to be looking at books so much, in my opinion, as we need to be reading the energy around us. So tell us a little bit about Beyond Your Impossible. Why did you come up with that name or that phrase? Easy one. You're on mute.
You muted it.
Oh, did I mute you?
No, okay. Thank you. I muted myself during the commercial.
Okay.
So just during my journey, I faced many things that I thought were impossible, and I overcame them. I went beyond what I believed to be impossible. And so I started kind of setting up just kind of in my mind, just like this map of what I thought it could be. And I saw things, you know, I also get dreams, prophetic dreams and visions and things like this. And I was meditating one time and I got this, and it was correlated with a dream as well. But it was this thing that I call the 60-point system. Actually, I don't call it. It just, the name came up in the dream. And I was like, what is 60-point system? I have no idea. And then I saw this image. And so I drew it. See, I drew, this is what I saw in my vision. Mm-hmm. But it was a golden light. And it's just kind of how things start from the zero point of creation and then spread out like this. So looking at that, well, what are the different points that a person needs to be healthy or to be healed or things like this? So I was thinking about this program, creating this program where people who have difficulties, maybe they're going through an awakening process, and this awakening process is not easy. And to do it alone, it's not easy. So being there and helping, guiding through this and coming into healing, maybe there's homelessness, maybe there's some domestic violence, maybe there's different things present. And just by doing those deep evaluations of myself and seeing and healing through that, what did I need? And not just me, but other people. What have I known of other people? I've had conversations or different things with different people. And what do they need? So I thought about these nurturing and development centers where they could live there and there can be different workshops and they can be nurtured through their healing process and at the same time develop themselves for what is it that they actually want to do? What is their calling? What is their mission? Why are they here on this planet? What did they come here to do? So that's getting down to the fundamental, the core essence of who they are, and figuring out, okay, this is your fundamental. This is what you've done in everything that you've ever done in your lifetime and everything you've ever experienced in your lifetime. So you have this goal. And maybe it seems impossible to reach, but it's not. So let's go beyond your impossible. Let's get to your impossible and say, oh, you know what? That's not so impossible. Let's go beyond that. And so there's that. But then Mohana and I were talking, and we were talking about creating a podcast and creating different programs and different healing modalities in doing these things. So that's where Mohana was like, ah, that sounds like a really good name for our podcast. So we're working on materializing our podcast. And from there, do you want to talk about the next part, the next phase, Mohana? Yeah, I was really keeping alive that that title was just like perfect for our podcast. She was just like, yeah, so let's go podcast. I was like, yeah, yeah. She's like, what are we going to do? What are we going to name it? Where? It just rang just so clear, like beyond your possible. And she's like, oh my God, you would name it that? Like I was naming it for her to be cute. And I was like, it just fit. It is so perfect. It's about going beyond our limitations. Like I do a lot of law of attraction coaching, trying to tell people how they're vibrationally not matched up with that thing that they're trying to manifest. So it's getting them deactivated from where they're at, that's opposite of what they're trying to manifest, and then activate them to bring them to a vibration where they're a light match to what they want to create. That's going beyond what you think is possible, even on a subconscious level, because most people don't understand that subconsciously we have these impossible limiting beliefs that if we don't go beyond those, we won't ever reach the impossible.
So your podcast, you're working on that. Have you started the podcast or you're in the planning stage?
We're going to actually have the first podcast earlier this morning, but we just thought it made more sense to wait till next Sunday, and it'll be at 10 o'clock or is it 11 Eastern time, or we have figured the actual numbers
at 9
Eastern time. And 9 o'clock
Mountain Time.
Yeah, so that's 11
Eastern Time.
You talking about in the morning?
Yes.
Okay. Now, when you say podcast, what platform are you going to be doing? YouTube?
Yes, YouTube. Yeah, that's where we just started. But it seemed like you have to have a certain amount of subscribers to actually go live for a podcast. So right now we're just like building our subscribers, maybe come out with a video. Maybe we can have, if you have the recording, we can podcast. So yeah, so you can grab our subscribers and then that way.
You came in and out for a minute. Repeat that about subscribers.
Now on YouTube, it's a stipulation to have a certain amount of subscribers before you can go live and have your podcast. So we're thinking to upload some videos to it. And I was saying, if you have this actual recording, we would love to feature this podcast onto that place as a recording, and then go from there with growing our subscribers. But we will be going live in our Facebook group to, you know, get people aware of our podcast coming up.
Well, I don't know about that rule about having a certain number of subscribers to go live. I've never even paid attention to that type of thing. So, AM, Neo Mio is asking AM or PM. You said AM, right? 9 AM or
yes,
AM.
Yes.
And that's 9 Mountain Time.
9, yes, Mountain Time, 11 Eastern Time.
So, yeah, we're still 2 hours apart, Eastern. And I think you just have to StreamYard. Are you setting up StreamYard?
So we're actually new at this technology thing, and we're just learning.
Okay,
so we're learning
good. All right, so you've got a little research to do, and I mean, I do this on StreamYard, and then you can choose what platforms. When you do StreamYard, you choose what platforms you want to go on. Like I'm on Facebook, 2 Facebook pages, and YouTube. So it's all live. And I'm not, you know, I don't have a camera on YouTube or anything. It's just going through StreamYard. So look into StreamYard for that process to work. And I think it'd be easy. I don't think you have to have a certain number of subscribers when you go live that way. So I'm excited for you because, I'd be glad to share. You know, you can always share this. And on a podcast on your platform, we should all be sharing these activities that we're doing so they get out to the most people that we can. Okay. Someone is on. Oh, Kwame Sunhorse is on here. He says shaman. I'm not sure, Kwame, can you elaborate on shaman? Are you saying define that, or are you going to define? Okay, I think his mic, let me go back here. Yeah, let me open up the mic because I've been ignoring the Blog Talk Studio. But Kwame, your mic is open.
Good evening, and good evening to your two sister guests. And, you know, I'm grateful to watch this, to see the young generation begin to tap into their, the way I put it on there, for shamanists, S-H-A-M-A-N, a spiritual helper, awakening minds, assisting nature. A spiritual helper, awakening minds, assisting nature, the acronym. So each letter is right, but for is that we have to look at the unemployed ancestors that we have, and we have to look at how did this all get put into place? There were alchemists, there were the mystics, there was the ancients, and their techniques in using their modalities created what we are living in today. They just advanced it with technology, because the divine intelligence is always greater than the artificial intelligence. And so what they're giving is the consciousness of that generation is the consciousness of our generation. But what happened is our consciousness created the children that's creating what's sitting there in those rooms right now on the screen. And so what we're seeing is the passing down of the cosmic consciousness as we move. What we're now experiencing is moving the evolution of us as humans, a Homo sapien, to a spiritus. How does that look? How does it look? A Cro-Magnon to a Neanderthal to a Homo sapien. Those knowledges were given through cosmic. As we evolve to industrial, agriculture, farming, then we came into industrial age, now we've moved into the technological age. Each advance connected with Ina Maka, Mother Earth, and consciousness. And what we're looking at is taking technology, but really technology says, and they're taking the knowledge, because everywhere you stream on it, it is given to the knowledge of technology, and it's harvested and it's kept on file. What happened when we used it in nature was a different way in which we did it. We were in the civilizations that developed from using nature. There was no technology. And we're now looking at saying that technology, looking at, we did more because we had towns and cities and we had municipalities with people looking like us. There are not too many places we have in this Turtle Island that we have like me. So it's a challenge that we got to look at how we can use actually the divine intelligence along with using actually. Because, you know, they talking about the climate, 80% of the carbon footprint is these cell phones, because all of that it takes to make this has to deal with destroying nature.
Right. You ladies have any response to, were you able to hear him? I know he was going in and out a little bit. Were you able to hear what he was saying?
I heard him going, he was going in and out a little bit, but these technologies are being used to destroy nature. They're being used to take, oh, this is a resource and I could use this and I really want this and so I'm going to take it because I want it. And not actually looking at what can I do to give back to the earth? What can I do? Because we're stewards of the earth. We're here to protect the earth. We're here to love on it and to nurture it. And what would be more useful is if this technology could be used in a way to steward the land instead of to rape it, instead of to take from it.
Yeah.
And I'm a searcher. So I'm a researcher and I'm a searcher and I'm constantly looking for all of these components. So, you know, like the 60-point system and creating community optimizers. So what are all of the points that a community would need? Well, one of them is we need to protect our land. We need to protect the earth. We need to take care of it. So I'm always looking for all of these things. I just came back from Costa Rica to go and check out some different communities because there's a lot of activity going on down there. And I met this one person and, this couple, and they're creating this community down there, but they're building with natural materials.
Mm.
So he's an architect and a designer, and he builds with natural materials. And he works with the tribes down there to make sure that the energies are flowing just how they should, because there was some bad things that happened in that land and in the past. And so there's a lot of healing that needs to be done. And it was so amazing because I got to sit there in the jungle and I just got to meditate. And I had a good point of like 3 hours of meditation in one spot. And then I had maybe an hour or two in another spot meditating. And it was so beautiful because this couple, they decided, because the tribe was like, are you sure you want to be guardians of this land? Because this is a big undertaking. And they said yes. And so they did some healing, they did some ceremony there, and they were told that in this space, you do not let anyone come to this space unless they have that heart space that can be good for that. And so I had the honor of being able to go to the space and sit there and learn of it and feel it. And when I was there, I could feel the jungle. The jungle was singing its song, and it was so beautiful, the song that it was singing. Like, it brought tears to my eyes because what I felt in that space was womb love. It was such a beautiful love, and it just was like, there's nothing like the womb love. There's nothing like it, and it feels so beautiful. And I told them, I said, you guys are doing a really good job. The jungle here is happy. They're happy with you. So there's other people that are also using sacred geometry. So there's like different points on the earth that have different energy signatures, and so they're connecting with the land, and they're seeing, okay, what is the energy signature that's coming on here? And so they get a sacred geometry that correlates to that specific type of energy, and they start creating structures that match the land.
That's
and beautiful. They're beautiful, and they're just they're helping, they're giving back. So there's a lot of people that are really doing amazing things, and they really want to give back to the earth. They really want to use this technology in order to heal the earth as opposed to destroy it. And then, of course, we have different parasitical organizations that they want to, excuse me if I use that word, but there's no other word to describe it.
Well, it's
when I went to Arizona.
That's accurate. That's very accurate. Yeah. I spoke to a woman today who's going to be my guest in a couple of Fridays. She's the parasite lady, and she wrote a book about how parasites are used in vaccines. Parasites are everywhere. She was just going on, and I found her on Facebook. And the way she was describing parasites is like you can't get away from them, and you got to do this. And she was on strong medication to get rid of the parasites. And so she's going to be my guest on my Friday show in a couple of weeks. But that's very accurate words for the energy that we see in our earth right now. And as Kwame pointed out, we need to look at the divine intelligence influence to build that up versus this raping of the land, especially in the Congo. I saw this documentary about the Congo, and then this guy did an interview about the Congo. Oh my goodness, it's just horrible the way they're getting this cobalt for cell phones. We got to have our cell phones. What are we going to do without? We can't have cell phones without cobalt. So they're raped. They have child slave labor, and it's like that's the challenging part for us to come out of this comfort air zone we've been in with our cell phones and realizing that we're destroying our earth with these cell phones, something we all need, we want. But Mahana, did you have a comment?
I would just make a big statement about the raping of the earth. Like, that just accurate description for me. I've always took real fond of Mother Earth. I would hand people their trash back. But they said, like, you don't throw trash on my mother. But and about in 2010, I took the vow to be keeper of Mother Earth, and I didn't know that was going to entail going through the different energy shifts. And if I wasn't right in my own body to harness it, I was literally experiencing labor pains, and I was like, oh. And then Spirit was like, you're going to get some birth and pain from Mother Earth going through. You signed up for it. I'm thinking I'm just being cute because I had got the question, will you be a keeper of Mother Earth? And I was like, yeah, I'll be a keeper of Mother Earth. I'm all about Mother Earth and nature. And so it really do break my heart that it is not necessary. We can have these different things without raping the earth. It's about give and take. She's given to us, and we're supposed to give back to her. We haven't been given back to her. She just keeps tick, 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 and draining her blood with the oil, draining this, but we're not giving her anything back, and that's why we're seeing it's going to be a mad eruption when she decides to turn on everybody. So, I'm like, you asked for it, but it's going to be a mass cleansing, but then there's also going to be peace in the end of it all.
And that's what gives me some comfort about what this chaos we're seeing, war and all this, is that there is going to be, on the other side, very peaceful lifestyles we'll all enjoy. Let me just say, I see Zelda says, sounds like these ladies need professional podcast training. Zelda has been in the media business for many years, so she has a website that you can go to called higherlearningnetwork.org/resources. And she's our Monday morning host. So you can, if you tune in to Female Solution tomorrow morning, and if you have any questions, you can bring them to her tomorrow. But higherlearningnetwork.org/resources will give you some help. Then we have Armando Castro says, greetings to all, especially Eva May from Mexico. Spiritual strength is important in transcending the mind, since there will be improvement to the human unconscious. Amen to that, brother. The transcendence of the spirit and soul is sacred knowledge, and that with personal reflection heals the soul and enters a psychoanalytic state of the human coefficient. Greetings, he says. Wow, that's pretty deep. I think we need, you need to have him on your podcast. That's pretty. He's making.
That's
you both know Armando?
Yes.
Okay, and then Neo is saying, Ja, how you describe the copper mined hole in Bisbee, Arizona, rape the earth. So we're going to take another
huge pool.
We're going to take our last break.
Unmuted.
I'm going to let Naima, my executive producer, she's going to play our last commercial break, and then we'll come back. We got a couple of people in the Blog Talk who have questions or comments. So stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be right back after these messages.
I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my three-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viato.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed, into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
Because we've already confirmed you checked off the six signs, so we might as well put it in your podcast. So let's think about it. Think about it, because you will be the expert in that area. So we're gonna go to the phone. 773-483. Your mic is open. Welcome on the path to shamanism.
Hello. Good morning. Good evening. Kofi.
Good evening, Brother Kofi.
Yes, I thank you all for sharing, you know, that. Religion leads us to evolve into greater spiritual things with nature. I've came across a world map called NOS, N-O-S, Confident, C-O-N-F-U-N-D-E-N. It's on YouTube, or you can Google it. Nos Confident. This is a picture of the ancient world, which pictures that the seven continents are in the middle of the planet, and there are 30 more continents around outside the Antarctica wall. One of the continents called Petitia, Liberus, Movie Land of Thoth, T-H-O-T-H, the Ancestral Republic, the Ancient Land of Anak, the Anak Ocean, Gemini, Asgard. Those are continents that are around us. That's called the outer world. Not just space. Outer world means outer. Okay? Now, this reason I'm saying, they're coming closer to us. They're, all of our intelligence are coming from them. I've seen UFO ships and everything. They scanned me already. Cloning is something that's already been in process. You ever heard of Lester Holt, the NBC commentator?
Yeah.
Go look at it. He hasn't changed in 20 years. That's a clone. He's a clone. He's a clone. Go look at him. Never changes. Look stern. He's a clone. Cloning has been around for a long time. Okay? They've got all of our data, information, pictures, eye retina, and so they want us to accept cloning as the future existence. That's an unnatural existence. But when we turn back to nature, we understand that there's unnatural beings and natural beings. The way they're making us clone, they have fed us genetically modified organism food with no seeds in it. Okay? They gave us fluoride through our water and toothpaste to decalcify our pineal gland. So you can't think outside the box, and you can only accept this one thought. Okay? This is what we're dealing with. So I tell people sun gazing, fresh water, you know, go on Google and find out how to activate your pineal gland, because this is the only way. My pineal gland is active. I see what's going on.
Yes.
My pineal gland, it connects me to the...
Koofy, you're pointing out why we should be focusing on becoming more shamanistic in our energy. Because it's so needed right now. Religion has not prevented this chaotic scene we're in right now. So what we are feeling is the need to shift. And John Harris says, keep in mind there are billions of people. We're not the only country using cell phones. So, right, it's a global challenge, no doubt about it. It's a global challenge. We can recognize
that all over
the world, people are using cell phones. So what do we do about it? That's the question. We focus on developing our shamanic energy to be in touch with nature, find the solutions in nature. How about that? And create what our great minds are able to create. We got another caller I got to go to
Use our cell phones to gather natural information. I've shut off the internet for a couple months, okay? So use it.
Yeah.
Don't abuse it. Don't let it control you with mind control. Use it for the good. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Koofy. Go ahead, Eve. You had a comment before I go to the next caller.
Yeah. I wanted to say something about aware of our signature. What are we putting out here? You know how... around the corner,
right
around the street,
yeah,
waiting to get a new phone because they have to have the newest. They have to have the newest.
Crazy.
And a lot of times, I think that these iPhones, they they go out after a certain amount of time, so you actually have to buy a new one. And so for me, I don't buy iPhones. I have a phone. I have the regular Android Samsung, but I'm not saying that I'm any better. I'm just saying maybe not being so worried about let's get the latest, let's get the newest, let's get the best.
Yeah, and there are other options out there for cell phones. So I think it's time that we do, like you said, stop focusing on I've got to have the latest cell phone and just find a basic instrument to use for your needs. So we're going to open up the mic to 336-350. Mama AZ, your mic is open.
Thank you. Thank us, Dr. V. Without you having the insight, this show would not be the bomb. I love you, Dr. V. Thank you, Brother Kwame. Thank you, Miss Eva. And the beautiful sister, you're both beautiful babies. And I want to say, Brother Kofi, when I go to the doctor and they take a temperature, I'm saying this to everybody, don't allow them to point that radar gun at your pineal gland. Tell them to do it on your wrist because that calcifies with them taking the temperature, pointing that radar gun at your third eye. And maybe some of the people don't know, so you educate them. You educate the doctors about what they're doing. I want to say, Ms. Siva, George is so happy that you came to his space. And I could say a whole lot more, but somebody else may want to take have a comment. But babies, you are healing me because I get so many downloads, and sometimes I think I'm losing it. But because of you calling me that day and telling me what you did, And then George says, call Dr. V. You're helping me to heal. I want you to know that. I want you to know that, babies. So thank you, Dr. V. Thank you, Brother Kwame. Thank you, Brother Kofi, and everyone else who's listening on this line. And I want to dedicate this show to George and Fantasia Barrino. And on the next show, when I have the opportunity, I will express to you why today, because today is a three, is it not?
You know what? I didn't even. Okay, 4 and 8 is okay, 8, 9, 10, 11. I don't know. It looks like a 10 or 8, 9, 10, 11. It looks like a 2 or 11, but I could be wrong.
Let's okay, you add the month. Isn't this March?
No, you're right. It's a three. It's a three.
Okay. We're here to understand and overstand what is necessary for us to keep moving forward because Mother Earth is crying out. We got to do things different. We got to go back to nature, people. So thank you, everybody that's on the line. Thank us. Peace. Oh.
Absolutely. Thank us. Did either one of you have a response to her comment?
I love Mama AZ. I got the chance to witness her a couple of times, and I just love her energy. And I want to just reinstate how important it is to really overstand that. It has been an attack on the pineal gland. Even that COVID test where they want you to shove it way up there, that is about putting chemicals up there to really take out the pineal gland at the end of the day. And, yeah, those radars, anything out there, third eye, it's crazy to even do anything but maybe tap and meditate there or project thoughts from that vantage point. But I did the same thing at the airport. They were back in 2020, getting on the airport, they was like, And I said, oh, no, you can put it right here. It'll give you an accurate. You actually get a better accurate read from the risk. And, you know, they said there, like you said, most of them don't even know. They're just taking a protocol from higher ups who actually know what's happening. But, yeah, absolutely, it's an attack on our pineal gland because that's what gives us the download for us to discern the information that Mother Earth is actually trying to relate us right now about to move humanity forward.
Yes, and that's where we can relax a little bit, knowing that there's a divine purpose for all this chaos, that it has to occur to get to the other side of this. And it's like, come on, can we get to the other? No, it takes some time. Because there are still so many people who are unconscious. I've learned to stop judging so much. And I just observed and witnessed the unconsciousness in people. I mean, I see women wearing all this hair. I don't know what, wearing all this hair. And I just realized, okay, there's a reason that many women need to cover their head. And I try not to judge and just realize, okay, there's a reason for that. I don't know why. And I'm just hoping that the money that they're spending on that is worth it for them to raise their consciousness, whatever it is. Just keep raising our consciousness so we can get to the other side of peace and no war. And that's what I'm focused on. I have a boot camp for peace on my YouTube channel once a week. And that's the least I can do to help people come out of this war mind. So we only have a few minutes left. So I want to give each one of you some time to share what you feel is the most important message for people going forward with Beyond Your Impossible or whatever you want to share from what we've talked about so far. What do you think that you want to leave people with tonight to assist in this consciousness raising and to assist in reaching the shaman position, because it's needed. More than ever, we need more shamans in our planet. Either one.
I feel like as we all continue to go within, because within is where we're going to find the God within, we're going to find the true nature of existence and reality. We're gonna walk within that, because like I said last time, the one thing that I fear the most is my subconscious mind. Because if I'm not in alignment with what my subconscious believes, then my subconscious will punish me. And if there's any kind of motion, so it's kind of like the Jiminy Cricket, right? The conscience that this is what it takes to live a good life. This is what it takes to be in alignment, to be that person. And so if we have these belief systems that cause us to think that it's okay to behave any kind of way that's out of alignment, then our subconscious are going to punish us. Self-sabotage. We're going to be doing all of these different things that are detrimental to ourselves and detrimental to others. And so as we just keep on going within, and learning from ourselves and not looking to an outside authority, like, say, iPhone. Oh, this is what's the latest model. This is what is the latest trend. This is what, you know, do your hair like this or your body like that or do this or do that or the latest car, you know, being locked into this material world as opposed to being connected with the natural world. Because going into nature is ultimately how we can connect within and without here. And as we keep doing that, others are going to hear our conversation. Others are going to
They're going to hear what we're saying. They're going to see what we're doing. We don't even have to talk about it a lot because people will see us and they'll be inspired. And so we don't have to tell them, oh, you have to do this or you have to do that. We don't have to be an outside authority to someone. We can just live by example. And then the more that that happens and the more of us that do that, the more it's going to start, you know, I think the word is osmosis. The more it's going to start growing, the more we're going to start connecting in these ways. And I wanted to say today, actually, at midnight into tomorrow is the new year in the Piedra del Sol, in the sunstone, the new year. And it's called Atlacahuayo, and it's what the water leaves. So it's like this fertile time, the water's coming, and it's going across the land, and it's filling the lakes and the streams and the rivers and everything, and it's making the land fertile. So we're in New Year right now. Here's, okay, I'm stuck right there.
That's beautiful. Oh, that's good to know. That's good to know. I turned 69 in 2 days, so I'm excited about the whole energy of a new year, a new journey, and the 69th journey. I'm going in the 70s, so I'm excited. Yay. Mahana, go ahead, yes. Sweetheart.
We're coming into the new year, and lots of things rebirth, that's like a new. But the main thing that I know that the goal within is to find that self-love. So going deeper with our self-love and stop, you know, making everybody else our hero, and allowing ourselves to be that for ourselves. And like he said, a reflection of us out into the world to project is a pure example of what we're supposed to be. And that's all that needs to happen, is somebody can see what we've been and that they can decide, like, okay, this is something that I can do for myself, because that's what we are here to do, is be that reflection that, we know greater than you. You know greater than me. We all have this amazing beingness within inside of ourselves, and loving that which is deep within inside of ourselves.
That is so important, too, about the going within. I think you said, Easy, when you went to Costa Rica, did you say you had 3 hours of meditation in the
jungle?
Yeah,
I had 3 hours, and then I had 2 hours.
Yeah, that's what we need. I spent 2.5 hours last week just listening to Snow Raven. I don't know if you know who Snow Raven is. She's a amazing shaman, I would say, from Siberia. And she has this 2.5 hours, more than 2.5 hour meditation of bird songs, all from coming from her vocals and drums. And I just laid there. I couldn't believe I did it, but that's what we have to start being, is the shaman that spends 2-3 hours in nature, as Mahana said, going within and finding self-love. And I would say finding appreciation and respect for this vessel, this sacred vessel that we call our soul lives in. And that's what's going to change the world. A couple of more comments. John Harris says, well said. And who is this? Olivia says, happy early Born Day anniversary, Miss V. Thank you, Olivia. I love you all. And tomorrow, Zelda, our Monday morning host, says, are you stressed out? How to handle it? With Master Clinician Khalid Scott on Monday Morning Mindfulness on the YouTube Higher Learning TV show. And that's where you can call in and ask more about the podcast information. So, ladies, I'm so, so grateful that you have spent this time with us. Remember, thank us. And I want to just thank Mama AZ has just been, she's like my employee almost. She's always finding new people for me to bring on this show. And I just love her and appreciate her so much. And I know you too as well. So we send lots of love and healing to Mama AZ, and she even affirmed, there we go, We see even affirm that we are healing her just by showing up. So we should give all of us should give ourselves a pat on the back for showing up and being the shamans that we know we are. Even if we don't check off all six signs, I believe we're there already because we are projecting that. So I'm going to play our farewell greeting, and thank you so much, ladies. Have a wonderful week. And a safe, restful evening. I love that. And Eve, be well. You are well. You're strong. You're both strong. You're beautiful. So let's do this again this year. And when you get your podcast, be sure and invite me on. I would love to come on and share another beautiful time of conversation with you ladies. So love you both. And we're going to say... close. Thank you to our global.
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/thefemalesolution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, xiexie.
Xiexie.
Zanyaba. Japan. Arigato.
Arigato.
Korea. Kamsahamnida. Russia, spasiba. Germany,
spasiba.
Danke. Poland,
danke.
Jung, could you?
France,
merci.
Merci
Spain,
beaucoup.
Gracias. Italy,
grazie.
Egypt,
gracias.
Shukran. Ghana, medasi. Nigeria, eshe. South
eshe.
Africa, Gibonga. Senegal, Jared. Kenya, Asante, Israel, Toda, Pakistan, Shukriya, Afghanistan, Tashakur, Saudi Arabia, Shukran, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
And to all
thank
my yogi friends out
and may peace
there,
be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.
And aloha to all my friends in Maui, Hawaii. We love you. Stand strong, Maui. You got this. All right, everybody. Mwah. Shalom, shalom. See you soon.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
Shalom.
Yes. And happy birthday.
Thank you.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.